Can I call to order the Transportation Finance Omnibus Committee hearing? And today's the 20th, I guess. Hard to remember. The House is going to present an offer to the Senate. Our apologies for the confusion on the meeting time today. Mr. Estenson posted the meeting and left the meeting time blank, and we think there must be a default of 9 a.m. in the computer or something, so my apologies to those of you that got up early this morning needlessly. I know that wasn't a good thing to do, given the schedules people are keeping these days, and I apologize for that. In looking at putting together another offer, we tried to listen to the concerns of the Senate, and we've also been watching and listening to the lobbyists and the hallway talk, if you will, and I'm going to tell a little story. I grew up in a very large family, and maybe some of you had this experience, but occasionally we would be allowed to have soda. And I'm old, and so in those days, pop came in 16-ounce returnable bottles. And so we would get out to share a bottle of pop, and of course our noses would be at the glass level, making sure that not a single glass had more in it than the other before everybody would sign off that it was time to pick the glass of pop, because they all had to be even and everybody get the exact same amount. Well, I kind of feel like that's going on in the transportation realm these days, and that we have different factions pitted against each other trying to make sure that their glasses of pop have the exact same amount. Meanwhile, over the last 10 years, we've done nothing substantial for transportation, and it's getting to be very dysfunctional for myself, very frustrating, and the thought of leaving here whenever it is, midnight tomorrow night, without getting something done when we've gotten this close to being able to put a ballot question before the people and have it pass in November and provide additional funding for both transit and roads, to me is pretty scary. I think that when I look at other issue areas at the Capitol, certainly they all have competing interests, but time and time again we see additional money going to Health and Human Services, education. They seem to get additional money, and meanwhile we don't, and trying to figure out why that's happening. Unfortunately, some of the hallway talk is that there's some people that don't want a bill to pass because they want the Earhart Amendment and language to stand in the ballot this fall. Some for the reason that they don't want the hard 60-40 in the Constitution. Some because they don't really want it to pass at all. Others, who knows what the reason is. I think that's very unfortunate. Today I've asked Mr. Olson from the chamber to speak to us regarding the information that they've gathered on the ballot question that is currently on its way to the ballot in November and would be on the ballot in November if this group fails to come to some kind of resolution and pass a transportation finance bill in the next, how many hours? Less than 36. And just so that you know, I've been working on a data practices amendment that's about 15 pages long, and the research staff had it ready, and there was a two-hour wait for a 15-page amendment to be processed upstairs. So it's not a we're running out of time relative to just the physical processing of a bill as well. Mr. Olson, if you'd step to the table and give us some information from your perspective, either as chair or president of the chamber, or I believe you are also president of the Minnesotans for Better Roads Than Transit.
Perfect.
Welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My name is David Olson. I'm president of all those things that you mentioned, and I'm here today because my in-laws are in town. So I had choices. Mother-in-law, go to the Capitol for this fracas. So
I hope they're not on TV.
Sorry. Very quickly, the Minnesotans for Better Roads and Transit, you've heard time and time again, and how many groups you represent. Maybe that's our problem. We represent just about everybody between environmental groups and transit groups and road groups and contractors and chambers of commerce and trade associations. We've hired some experts in the field of helping get amendments passed, both a national expert and a local expert. We did conduct both some polling and some focus groups and found that by changing, simplifying the ballot language, our chances for passage of the amendment itself increased between 15 and 20 points. So it is, in our minds, potentially the difference between winning and losing. So from our perspective, we've had road gridlock, and that's getting worse. We've had legislative gridlock. You can determine whether that's getting better or worse. And now we have an opportunity to give Minnesotans the chance to dedicate some money for roads, bridges, and transit. And we're going to do our level best to convince them to do it, but it would obviously be much easier to do if we could simplify this ballot question. So I know you have a host of issues on the table before you. We remain optimistic, hopeful, that you could find a way to help us simplify the ballot language so we can pass this in November. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any questions?
Madam Chair.
Senator Murphy.
Madam Chair, Mr. Olson, first, I really hope that this wasn't testified, or I mean televised, or even on the radio.
She's relatively aware.
Who knows what's in
You wouldn't be overly shocked.
Yeah. But in relationship to the ballot question, the House and the Senate are different on that. The Senate has some 60-40 language in it, and the House has transportation services, I believe. Which one polls better?
Mr. Olson.
Madam Chair, Senator Murphy, to be perfectly honest with you, we didn't poll those. At the time, what we polled was basically reading someone the amendment itself and basically asking them, when you vote in November, would you vote for this, yes or no? And that was the question.
And Mr. Olson, what you polled then was the current Earhart amendment language that's currently on its way to the ballot.
Yes.
Versus the language proposed by the coalition, is that correct?
Yes, we did. And what we learned is more than the 60-40, Madam Chair, Senator Murphy, more than the 60-40 language, the most confusing part of the ballot language itself is the five-year phase-in. People think it's a new tax, and they think it lasts only 5 years. So they struggle with why would we vote for a new tax to fix a huge problem and then have the tax go away in 5 years. So that's where the majority of the confusion comes in.
And
Senator Murphy.
Madam Chair and Mr. Olson, I believe the language that your group came up with is what's in the House provision. Is that correct?
Mr. Olson. Say
yes. I see about 50 people nodding their heads. So it must be, Madam Chair, Senator Murphy, yes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Representative Leader, did you have a question?
Thank you, Madam Chair. That was a question that I had. I didn't know which ballot, the wording, which one he was talking about.
Does anybody else have any additional questions for Mr. Olson? Mr. Olson, given the market research that you have done, would you agree that it will be harder for you to raise revenue for the Vote Yes campaign with the original language in play?
Madam Chair, I think some of us figured we'd be with the original language when we were done with the legislative session. Unfortunately,
I'm speaking to the ballot language.
Yeah, right.
If the ballot language is not changed, and that you now have spoke publicly about the vast difference in the success rate of the two language scenarios being proposed, do you risk some of your supporters being less confident in the successful passage of it and being less willing to commit dollars to the effort?
Madam Chair, the good news is I think the discussion about the ballot language for the most part has been within this building and the Capitol. I think that's good news, although I will tell you obviously our largest investors are keenly aware of the focus group and the polling results. you know, if we have this language, my guess is we'll still try to go past it. But my guess is a few investors would pause.
Thank you. Representative Ruth.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And thank you for your testimony, Mr. Olson. In talking with a number of constituents in the rural area, I'm just very, very concerned about passing it if the original language remains on there, because there just isn't a guarantee for roads, and of course there is a guarantee for transit, and there's a limit for roads. And we heard on the House floor rural members saying that they were going to testify against it, that if we have this original language. So I'm just very, very concerned. I just don't think we can be able to get it passed on the November ballot. And it's just a huge concern because we've waited so long. I mean, how many years do we continue to go on and just hold to what we believe in? Sometime we have to compromise and realize it's for what is best for the citizens of Minnesota. So thank you for your testimony.
Thank you. Senator Bonhoff.
Thank you, Madam Chair. With regard to Representative Ruth, I didn't actually hear Mr. Olson say just what you said, so I would like to clarify, because as I heard Mr. Olson, that what he was saying is that what was important is to clarify the ballot language, and the ballot language in the House version does not stipulate that there is a 60-40 split. In fact, that is not in the ballot language. So as I understand what Mr. Olson is saying, is the most important part is to clarify the House language, and he is not stating one way or the other with regard to a hard 60-40, whether or not that helps its passage or hurts its passage. Is that correct, Mr. Olson?
Mr. Olson.
Madam Chair, Senator, yes, that is correct.
Thank you.
Are there any additional questions?
Madam Chair, can I just mention one thing?
Certainly.
On the metro-rural situation, we all know there's at least one organization that spends pretty much their whole life trying to drive a wedge between metro and rural. Our membership at the state chamber, if you look at the members of the Minnesotans for Better Roads and Transit, it's outstate chambers, it's outstate counties, it's outstate businesses.
That's greater Minnesota, yeah. Businesses,
right.
Greater Minnesota.
Okay.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Somewhere outside the metropolitan area.
Right.
And they're good. In fact, half of our members are from greater Minnesota. And I will tell you that the businesses in particular have become incredibly frustrated with moving their people and their goods through the Twin Cities. They are not focused on 60-40. They're focused on $300 million in new money for roads, bridges, and transit. So I would just ask all of you to let a larger group than the one group, again, that spends all of their time trying to drive that wedge. I would hope you would listen to a broader-based group of folks.
Thank you, Mr. Olson. Last call for questions. Seeing none, thank you very much. Members, we'll pass out our offer, and we have a number of documents as well. And for the lobbyists, we have plenty of copies, so you don't have to act like a bunch of children and fight for the copies when they're put out.
For the soldiers.
Right, exactly. While it's being passed out, I'll cover the parts of it that haven't changed from our previous offer. We did not change any of the policy item part of our offer. We felt that the Senate counteroffer last night did not take a serious approach as far as laying out what policies the Senate could support, and so we wait for an offer that actually has a list of policy items that the Senate can support. The major changes to our offer, you will see, is that we continue to support the $2 billion in trunk highway bonds, the Crosstown Project, the Mankato headquarters, and the DOT exterior. A new addition is that we would authorize Met Council to issue up to $1.5 billion in transit bonds over a 10-year period based on the new revenue from the additional MVEST dedication as a result of the successful passage of the MVEST constitutional amendment. It would be up to the Met Council to determine what portion of the new revenues would go for debt service versus additional operating costs. In reviewing the Met Council's information, we have their phase to complete their phase one of their transit projects, which include Central Corridor. 35W, Cedar Avenue, Northwest Busway, and I'm understanding that the funds for the North Star are now a done deal. That adds up to $670 million. So less than half of the $1.5 billion authority would take what are the current estimates are for the Phase 1 or Tier 1 of the Met Council capital costs for their transit projects. We listened to the concerns by the Senate that in order to get transit projects funded, they had to come up here where all those goofy buttons bug people for hours and days, beg and plead, hound the bonding committee, bring a Diet Coke to Representative Dorman, and I'm not sure what Senator Langseth drinks, but I know sitting next to Representative Dorman on the phone, on the floor, I think he goes through about 12-pack a day. But anyway, another story. So what this would allow, as you can see, this bonding authority, as far as a proportion of need, goes a long way to meet the stated needs of capital costs for the metropolitan area. And if you look at the proportionality of the $2 billion to the total needs statewide versus the $1.5 billion in proportion to the needs for transit in the metro area, there's no comparison. It would allow for the Met Council to very rapidly make huge improvements in the transit system using this new revenue stream. I don't know if all the documents have been sent out. We have also, did you pass out all the supporting documents? There is a run that John Williams, and bless his heart, he works with the bonding committee as well, so he was here very late last night. He's been very busy with the bonding committee, and I threw this idea at him this morning, and so he's been scurrying around trying to put this run together. But what I gave him for parameters, and this was, again, in response to Senate concerns, and in no case would the debt service amount go into the red, if you will. We heard concerns from the Senate on the governor's bonding plan that we had red ink on the spreadsheet. So his spreadsheet that's being passed out, and that would accommodate the $1.5 billion in bonding. And you can see from this, we also, I know that there was some controversy in the last couple of weeks about the percentage of the 40 cents to metro versus rural, and there was a fight, I guess, that occurred, and I heard all kinds of horror stories of things going on, and the governor's proposal was 38 and 2. My understanding is some of the transit advocates were pushing for a 36 and 4 metro-rural split of the 40. I cut the baby in half and did it at 37-3 in order to run the numbers for this particular model. On the second page of this handout, you can see the bond amortization table, and the column you're probably the most concerned with would be the far right column. That would be the revenue that would be in excess of the debt service cost. So in every single year in this model, there's additional money going into the fund. And Mr. Walls, did you assume a 2% growth in MVEST for this model? And members, that 2% growth is a modest factor for growth, and so it is likely that over that period of time of 30 years that there would be more revenues than what is shown in this run. The next handout that I hope that you have is related to our proposal in our going with $2 billion in bonding for the governor's plan as opposed to 2.5. You will see on this handout there is no red ink, and every year the revenues from the new successful completion of MVEST cash flow the debt. So we've gotten rid of the concern of the red ink in the governor's program. The third handout that I hope you have is I asked MnDOT, we talked, there's a lot of discussion about all the interest costs and what a waste of money to pay for interest, and you know, bonding for roads is a bad thing, and quite frankly, this is my editorial comment. I have never heard a good response when I asked the question, why is bonding for transit infrastructure different than bonding for road infrastructure? So on this particular handout, what MnDOT did was that they took five of the projects that are examples from their project list, and in the first column they have the cost of the project in $2005 and the current scheduled year for construction. Then what they do is what would be the year of the project in their accelerated schedule based on successful completion or passage of the MVEST question in November. And if you go all the way to the far right-hand column, you get the net savings of the doing the project earlier at lower cost, and the inflation factor in this particular model is at 8% annual inflation for road construction costs. And you can see in every instance there is more savings than when you add together both the lower project costs with the debt service to float the bonds to be able to do those projects earlier. We stayed with the motor vehicle sales tax language that is in both bills, the House language for the ballot question, the placement, the rapid disposition of the legal action, the account being created in order to do this, the leased vehicle sales tax being treated as MVEST, and we did provide to the Senate an A46 amendment yesterday that laid out kind of a findings of fact for the courts if, in fact, there is a court challenge, and there were minor modifications recommended by Senate counsel. So we would include the A46 amendment with the changes that the Senate suggested. And at this time, I'd be happy to stand for any questions. Senator Murphy.
Oh, no, Madam Chair.
Senator Jungbauer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm trying to understand the $2 billion not going into the red. Is that because we took the lease vehicle sales tax and treated that as MVEST and put it in there?
No, Senator Jungbauer, the previous proposal by the governor was $2.5 billion, so we have dropped the total amount of bonding authority by 20%.
Okay, Madam Chair, because...
Senator Jungbauer.
The calculations that we got from the governor's office showed somewhere around 1.75 to keep it out of the red. So it seemed like more money had to be added in than to get it up to $2 billion without putting it in the red.
And Jungbauer, we're reducing the authority from $2.5 billion of bonding to $2 billion in bonding, and by doing that, then we do not go into the red in the spreadsheet. And if you have more technical questions, Mr. McFarland would be happy to, Mr. Wolf.
Madam Chair and Senator Jungbauer, I do understand from speaking with MnDOT that they also had changed the schedule at which those bonds would be let, which also changes the way the debt service pattern works.
Thank you. That answers.
Are there any additional questions? Senator Murphy.
Madam Chair, I'm just wondering if we're still using the numbers from the Department of Finance on the increase of money coming to the MVEST fund, and it sure looks like that. And, you know, that fund has lost money year after year since 2002, and Finance continues to say that it's going to increase. And I don't know if they magically waved a wand over the top of it and said that, okay, now it's going to go up. I still don't understand why we're playing with those same numbers that the Department of Finance has given us when we know that we've been losing real dollars in that fund for 4 or 5 years now.
Mr. Walsh, can you let Senator Murphy know the figures that you used? Are you talking about this particular document?
Correct.
What the figures that you used to provide this document, Mr. Walsh?
Madam Chair, on the first page of the stapled spreadsheet, the first 4 years of the MVEST total column are from official finance estimates as of the February forecast. That's all, as fiscal analysts, we have to work from. After that, it assumes a 2% rate of growth.
Are there any additional questions? there any in the audience that would like to testify or have any questions on the House proposal as presented? All right, Senator Murphy, we'd be happy to go into recess. I'm not sure when the House is scheduled to reconvene. Is there a House member that can tell me that?
Call the chair.
I guess we're at the call of the chair, and so I don't know what the Senate schedule is, but
3 o'clock.
And so at this time, I'd be happy to recess and wait for your direction as to if and when the Senate would like to provide a counter proposal to the House.
Not a problem.
All right.
Thank you.
So the meeting is in recess.
Do you want to pass out the office?
I'm going to call back to order the Transportation Finance Omnibus Conference Committee, and I'm talking with Senator Murphy. It's my understanding the Senate's going to make an offer to the House, and as Senator Murphy has been up front from the very beginning about the importance of primary seat belts to him, I have stated that I will be happy to bring this offer to my caucus. I went back and looked at the vote total for the primary seat belt bill on the House floor, and only 6 Republicans voted for it, so I am going to do my best in my caucus when the time arrives to try and convince them that this is a worthwhile thing to do. In the meantime, we've been told that the House is going to have the retirement speeches around 9 o'clock on the House floor, and we would like to be able to attend that. So what we would like to do tonight for a process is receive the Senate offer, allow House members to ask any questions of it, and then to the degree that we're able, adopt same or similar policies in Article 3 so that staff might start working on getting those up to the revisor's office to start putting together those policy provisions that we have agreement on. There will be no money issues adopted at this time, but rather just as a matter of process with the staff and trying to get a bill put together. It would be very helpful to them if we are able to adopt some language at this time for them to work on while we're back on the Senate and House floor. Senator Murphy.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Madam Chair, if you break out the paper that was just passed out, Conference Committee on House File 3761, offer as of 8 p.m., I suppose. Close enough. The Senate is willing to take the House provision on the $88 million. We're willing to take the House position on trunk highway bonds up to $1.7 billion. And I believe that that the language there, effective July 1, 07, contingent on invest, I think that that's been laying around and everybody knows what that is. We also want to authorize the commissioner once again to use $100 million of trunk highway bonds to back up the Crosstown project. The next one is also House Senate offer. These are on the trunk highway bond authorizations, Mankato headquarters, transportation building. We're willing to reach a compromise on motor vehicle lease tax. This motor vehicle lease tax will be statutorily dedicated, 97% of it for Metropolitan Transit, 3% for Greater Minnesota Transit, and that Hennepin County pays no more than one quarter of the operating cost. This money that we are going to raise through the, I believe it was the Bonoff bill, we want to be dedicated towards transit services. And one way that the Metropolitan Council can help out Hennepin County a little bit, because there's been a lot of this talk about the property tax issue, is to help them buy down some of the property taxes right now that are being used to run the Hiawatha line. excuse me. The Senate is willing to take the 60-40 hard constitutional amendment, the House ballot question, the House ballot question placement, the expedited disposition of the ballot question, the collection account, and that's the new account that was created, the statutory that MBEST statutory allocation, I believe, was supposed to be constitutional dedication.
It's both.
I'm sorry, it's both. Okay. And
just for clarification, that would be the phase-in schedule that you're referring
right.
to? Okay.
And also the legislative intent. And this is where our Senate Transit Fund with Metropolitan Account and Greater Minnesota Transit Account is a Senate provision.
And Mr. Chair, how does that differ from the House position?
It's, Madam Chair, Mr. Zosky is telling me it's just technical differences.
And do you then agree with the 37.3 of the 40%? As far as the split of the 40%?
Yes, Madam Chair.
Madam Chair, I think that was this, actually the same, was it not, in both bills?
I think it was 40 even.
I understand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The next header for discussion is appropriation of federal primary seatbelt funds. It's our understanding that that the House is willing to accept the seatbelt language, and if that's correct, then there's over $16 million of federal funds to be spent. These are cash payouts. This is a French Rapids Bridge project. The Trunk Highway 61 corridor study. It should be Trunk Highway 61/50 corridor study. The I-35W corridor coalition, $100,000. I-394 corridor improvement study, $500,000. And then we are going to give MnDOT accelerated construction cash. Trunk Highway 14, 2.5, Trunk Highway 60, 2.5, Trunk Highway 610, 6 million, Trunk Highway 65, 2.5. Out of this money, we're also going to authorize the purchase of AEDs at the $312,000 limit. That's going to be matched by a grant from the Prairie Island Minnetonka Sioux of about $195 million. $195,000. I'm sorry. I was getting generous with the gambling money.
Yeah.
All right. We're also going to take a portion of this money, and we're going to make it available for families who are under 175% of federal poverty line, and basically just buy them booster seats. We're not asking for any booster seat language. All we're doing is going to create an account so that low-income families can go get $25 and go get a booster seat. We also want to spend $1 million on driver safety programs, and Colonel Beers probably knows more about this than anybody on the committee, but programs such as 55 Alive and in-school safety awareness programs. On the back, the policy provisions, the Senate would like to see the motorcycle plates, the disabled veterans plates. Some of this language is similar with some of the provisions of the House, but you can read through those. I know that Madam Chair had a problem with a portion of our exhibition driving provision. We've agreed to take the squealing of the wheels out of that and just leave it the way that it first came to me. Once again, seat belt, the link limitations, CDL, federal compliance issues, 60-day license cancellation, suspension for payment of vehicle taxes with a dishonored check is going to get your license suspended. And then there will be a small allowance for certain advertising devices in roadways. Airports as essential services. There's no funding provided in this bill for that, but this will be the Jungbauer, and I'm Senator Jungbauer. Who is your House author?
Representative Beard.
This is their basically their full language, and it also talks about disclosure of airport zoning regulations. We are going to exempt the MAC from that provision. The Metro Mall bill that the chair and I have together will be part of this, and then a report on Greater Minnesota Transit needs. The House provision on Town Bridge account, we would like to ask an amendment so that we could include cities with population less than 5,000.
Mr. Chair, do you know how many cities that includes?
You know, I think this might be in the wrong place. Why don't we just hold on that last sentence right there that says include cities? I think that... Okay. I'm sorry. That you can strike that line when we talk about the Town Bridge account that says includes cities population of 5,000 or less. Strike that line. That was inadvertent, and I apologize. Satisfaction of automobile lien, the 7-year deal, the signs for the cities with the military units, gross vehicle weight, and then also the chair's language on the international economic and trade zone impact studies, and then trunk highway 60 construction for 4 miles over the Iowa border. And then there's some miscellaneous House incentive provisions, motorized golf carts, the $300 permit for towing a vehicle to a place for repair or safekeeping. Here's where the cities of 5,000 come in. It's a town road construction contract, piggyback. That's where townships can work in conjunction with counties to kind of mitigate some of their costs. We also want to include cities in that provision under 5,000. Those are the cities that aren't on formula. And I've talked with people in the Township Association, and I think that they're comfortable with that.
Mr. Chair, did you talk to the county representatives as well, just so we have...
Actually, I didn't, but...
Mr. Lovro, is that okay with the counties?
Yeah. She nods her head in affirmative. Thank you. Study of transportation long-range solutions, and then a report comparing public and private costs in road projects. And there will also be a little bit of rider language on there that would ask for a report on the cost of the mainframe computer conversion at MnDOT.
Right, thank you, Mr. Chair. We are certainly appreciative of the amount of thought that went into this. I do have a couple additional questions, if I might, at this time. On the appropriation of the federal primary seat belt funds, as I've begun to talk to members of the House about trying to convince them to vote for this thing, I talked to them about the bill that had the appropriation of the $10 million to be divided by the counties and the money for the... the center guard barriers. I'm not using the right term, but that
medium barriers.
Thank you. Medium barriers. And so I'm not. You and I might have to have some discussion about this. I was trying to do some preliminary legwork to try and get some support for what you're asking from the House. And if I might, I'll be allowed to discuss that with you prior to the House. Caucus, I would appreciate that. Are there any additional questions from House members? Representative Leader.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'd like to just explain what he means by MVES statutory allocation. Do you mean, is there a fixed number in that, or is this something that legislature is going to address right now?
Madam Chair and Representative Leader, that's the statutory language, and I forget what page it is in the side-by-side, but that's the statutory language that breaks it down as through the phase-in period. And that language, I believe, was the same in both bills. Is that correct? Except for the collection account.
Representative Leader.
Madam Chair and Senator Murphy. Or allowance of certain advertising devices adjacent to roadway, that's kind of contrary to federal regs and stuff. What do you interpret that to be?
Senator Murphy.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Representative Leader, these are what we're talking about, and there is a stipulation of how many square inches these signs can be. These are the smaller signs that people put out and say the county fair is over this way, as a little sign that they put out and say, eat mom's apple pies, pull in here. And they can only be in the roadway for certain periods of time. It's not like they can go out and just plop them down. These are temporary things for like a weekend motorcycle event, like down in my area. It's way down in the boondocks, and you can't find it unless somebody throws out a few signs and says, turn here, turn there, and all that. That's kind of what it's about.
Representative Leader.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This is Senator Murphy. You mean on the right-of-way. It says adjacent to the roadways. You mean put them on the right-of-way is what you're talking about.
Madam Chairman, yes.
Senator Murphy. Any additional questions? Representative Ruth.
Madam Chair, I'm just wondering, with Hennepin County paying no more than one quarter of the Hiawatha LRT, do we have a sense of what amount that ends up being? I think it's currently 50%.
Senator Ress.
Thank you, Madam Chair. We understand right now that Hennepin County share is $6 million. Next year in particular, there's $3 million that is federal money that is going away. So Hennepin County would have an additional $1.5 million burden on its property owners. So that's the magnitude of the dollars.
Yeah, Representative Ruth, that was the CMAQ dollars, the congestion mitigation air quality federal dollars that are only available on the project for operating subsidy for the first 3 years. And so the policy that's in effect is that the locals pay half of the subsidy for operating. We were able to initiate a policy whereby the Met Council would be held to their budget appropriation, and if the operating revenues were more than expected, then the windfall went to the county. And in fact, I watched $500,000 nearly go back to Hennepin County
that.
For that policy. So we've tried to hold the Met Council accountable for their budgeting, and that any windfall would fall back on the property owner. So I would assume that this language with the North Star moving forward, you would also appreciate a limit of that degree of operating subsidy limitation on.
Well, Madam Chair, that seems like a reasonable parallel as far as I'm concerned. I don't know what what. I don't know the magnitude of the operating costs of the North Star, but and I'd be interested in knowing that. But in terms of a policy, that seems to be reasonable.
Well, and Mr. Chair, I'm just Senator Murphy. I'm really trying to nail down all the elements of this, because once I go for my caucus, if I don't got it right, I'm in bigger trouble than I am already. So, do you have any additional questions?
Thank you.
Okay. The on the trunk highway bonding, the 1.7, certainly that is far lower than what our caucus supported. I have some concerns there, even more so in the $170 million per year over the 10 years. Is that hard and fast as I bring this proposal to my caucus?
Madam Chair, when you say hard and fast...
Senator Murphy, I'm going to stand before my caucus of 68 members of only six voted for primary seatbelt. I'm going to have to put in front of them what the last best offer is of the Senate and convince a good share of them to support this, because I will not be the author of a bill that passes the House floor with 10 Republicans and 58 Democrats. I will not do that.
Well,
so I need to convince at least half of my caucus to support your proposal. The governor's bonding proposal was $2.5 billion and didn't have this phasing constraint. And so, again, I'm asking, when I go forward to my caucus, is there any leeway in that limit of $170 million a year in bonding?
Well,
because
Madam
we
Chair,
saw the cash flow chart that at $2 billion, they didn't go into the red. And now with your proposal of taking the lease revenue away from transit, that may no longer be the case, which may be another sticking point. But I need to know.
Well, Madam Chair, if you don't mind me interrupting, your last proposal, the issuances we're giving $150 million right up front for the length of the terms of the 1.7. And yours was $50 million in 07, $100 million in 08, 09, $150 million in 10, 11, and then 200, and then it got bigger as we went out. We're going to drop it on the table right away. You know, the other thing, Madam Chair, when you talk about trying to convince the majority of your caucus that they should vote for the seat for this package, especially knowing that the seatbelts are in it, and I appreciate you going out on a limb, but you also have to understand that my caucus, there are no votes, zero, for the governor's package, zero. And now I'm going to have to go back and tell them that I want to give the governor authorization of 1.7. So I'm in a box, too.
I know, isn't this fun?
Yeah, it is. So I tell you what, how about you go explain this to my caucus, and I'll go explain it to your caucus.
That could be interesting.
It would be like a book. Nobody gets out of here alive.
But I'm not even going to go there. Okay, and then I had one other question. The motor vehicle lease tax, is that a deal breaker as well? All to transit.
Well, Madam Chair, and we've had these kind of discussions, just you and I, and I won't get too deep into it, but there comes a time when you have to have votes.
I know.
And I think this is one way of helping the Met Council and Metropolitan Transit in general out of the box, because we all know that even with the passage of the invest, and we can, I don't know if Ms. Benowitz is here or not, or if
she's here,
but I, Judd, if you know, we can take testimony from you know, the folks over at the Met Council, but they're going to be in a hurt locker, a serious hurt locker, unless they get some new money. And this is, you know, we came in earlier and we were asking for a half cent. We probably would have settled less than that, but you guys didn't want anything to do with a sales tax. We appreciate that.
And we appreciate that you dropped that from your office.
Yeah, so we're trying to figure out a way to make sure that the transit folks get a little taste. We're going to spend $1.7 billion on roads. And this is, and correct me if I'm wrong, but it's about
$61
million. So
a biennium.
A biennium. And this is going to help them operate the buses and the trains and all that. So I think it's a good compromise.
All right, I'm sorry. Well, I think we might have to have a little more clarification and discussion regarding that particular issue. But in the interest of time, from a staff's perspective, moving to the second page of the center offer, the Senate offer part two, I'll certainly there's a couple things that I still would like some clarification on. Is it sufficient for us to move the descriptions of the policy items to expedite this as opposed to page and line numbers and let the staff go to work with pulling that? Or is everybody okay with that from a staff perspective?
I think the staff have a good idea.
I know they do.
Yeah.
Okay. If I don't know, Senator Murphy, if how you'd like to do this in the Senate section, on the airport issue, if I might ask the question of Senator Jungbauer, in talking with the Minnesota Association of Realtors. They provided me some language that they were comfortable with, and I'm afraid it's sitting on my desk. So can you tell me, is the language that you're referring to here on the disclosure that which the Realtors Association signed off on?
Madam Chair, in speaking with Glenn Dorfman from the Realtors Association and talking about that language, he didn't have any problem with this particular language. It's homeowner disclosure, doesn't get realtors involved, doesn't come under the realtor transfer disclosure statements.
Madam Chair, why don't we do this? I don't see Mr. Dorfman around here.
Well, Mr. Chair, I want to just clarify that because mm-hmm. he brought me language and he said it was related to the disclosure issue and that they were completely fine with this particular language. And I talked to Representative Beard. He was aware of the language. It was modeled after sewer system something and other disclosure language. And the realtors passed it by the real estate section of the Minnesota Bar for approval as well. And so before I sign off on this, I'd like to make sure that we're talking the same language here. So what I'm going to do is, if it's okay with you, mm-hmm. Senator Murphy, I'd like to go down your Senate list
okay.
and identify for you those ones that the House can take
Madam
at
Chair.
This time. And we may have three or four outstanding in this list that we might have to do a little polishing on. But
if I might, Madam Chair, if you have specific language from the realtors that differs from this, that would be perfectly acceptable.
Okay.
In terms of that transfer disclosure,
right.
as long as we have the exception under for MAC airports to not have to disclose. So we would
another, if I might then for clarifying, other than airports as an essential service, the second two policy provisions would only apply outside the seven county metro area. And I hope staff's getting all
this. For the disclosure.
And the funding, because of the fact that the funding
yes,
matched in the seven
correct.
County
yes.
metro area.
Yes,
okay.
Madam Chair, the our specific language on the airport funding it dealt with the statewide aviation plan, not with the MAC plans. So specifically, the last two MAC is exempt.
Okay, Mr. Senator Murphy, if I might, in the Senate section of your policy provisions, the House would be happy to move approval of all of those items except the primary enforcement of seatbelt law and the allowance of certain advertising devices adjacent to roadways with the addition of the second two airport policies being effective only outside the seven county metro area and the disclosure language being that's mm-hmm. been approved by the realtors and the real estate section of the Minnesota Bar. Okay. Senator Ress.
So, Madam Chair, by making that motion, that you're not saying that the primary enforcement of seatbelts is off the table in the motion,
no.
but are you saying that the advertising devices are off the table?
No. Senator Rest, at this time the House could not take that language. We continue to discuss it,
mm-hmm.
but in the interest of getting
okay.
something upstairs
it's
to
not,
start moving on.
It's not making it's not taking a position that it's just gone. It's just that it's not being adopted.
No,
okay.
I'm looking at, we got 14 minutes here, and I'm trying
okay.
to, as quickly as possible, move a bunch of language.
Sure. I just
want to
understand what your
work.
Motion meant. It's not a
work
negative
on.
Motion against the provisions
mm-hmm.
that you're accepting.
Right.
Except.
Right. Are there any questions on that motion? Mr. Barrett.
Madam Chair, members, just to check on the exhibition driving, there was some discussion earlier about removal of part of the language in that.
Right.
Senator Murphy.
And yes, Madam Chair, and we can talk about that a little bit when we're done here, but it's my understanding the Chair had a problem with it. It's kind of, there's two parts in there. One was kind of squealing tires, and since there's a certain individual that is housed in this building that likes to do that, maybe we should not do that.
And Mr. Chair, it's not the Senator Murphy, it's not my problem with it. I believe there was a vote on the House floor, and I don't know what, I think Representative Seibert knows what the vote was, but it was the prima facie evidence of something, and for the careless driving. The House position on that bill, I guess, is what I would say for clarification.
Okay.
Representative Seibert.
I'm sorry.
Madam Chair and Senator Murphy, that was my bill, actually, And we just took half of that bill out, which was the exhibition driving. The drag racing portion of that is still going to be in there. And that's,
right.
That was overwhelmingly voted for in the House.
Right. And Madam Chair, Representative, that's, yeah, staff just handed that to me, and this is the report we're talking right here.
Okay. Great. Right. Any additional questions on that motion? Senator Murphy? Questions?
No, Madam Chair.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, nay. Motion is adopted. Senator Murphy?
Madam Chair, then I would in turn move the House language for those 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 bullets.
And Mr. Chair, if I might, the signs, mm-hmm. can we not move the signs for cities with military units? That was a floor amendment. The language is really rough, and maybe I can get MnDOT to look at that and see if there's a way. It's not clear who's designing the sign mm-hmm. and if they have to be uniform from city to city or not. And so if we can hold back on that, I think it's a great idea, but the language might not be quite ready for prime time. Senator Rath.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Also, the International Economic Trade Zone Impact Study, et cetera, that's mine and Representative Abrams.
That's
and
correct.
It's my understanding that that did get into the tax bill. So it's fine with me. Redundancy is a good thing.
Once.
But the staff may want to just check and make sure that it's in the tax bill.
Mm-hmm.
And if so, it's really not needed here.
Well, and Senator okay. Ress, given that the traffic impact study was supposedly never controversial, never officially moved out, and somehow never ended up in the end, I'm not so sure that I would be happy to have it in two places mm-hmm. this time around, just to be doubly sure.
Right.
Then, Madam Chairman, I'll amend my motion, and we'll hold on the signs with the military units until MnDOT or somebody can give us some tighter language, and we'll direct staff to check out the International Economic Trade Zone, and if that was, in fact, part of the conference committee report from the tax committee, then we can drop it out.
All right, thank you. Any questions on Senator Murphy's motion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, nay. Motion is adopted.
And then, Madam Chair, the provisions under the House/Senate, there's, what is there, 5 of them there. I think that I'd move those 5.
And, Mr. Chair, I would be fine with the first 4. I want a little more clarification on cost of mainframe computer conversion, so if we could have discussion on that one in the meantime as well, I would appreciate that.
Okay. And Madam Chair, just so you know that, you know, the mainframe computer conversion that's been going on at MnDOT for more years than anybody really wants to admit, has been costing a lot of money, went through a lot of different vendors, and it's kind of went under the radar screen of our committees. And I think that this study is, or this this report that MnDOT should be given to the chairs of the committee is long overdue. This is something that we ought to be paying attention to.
Okay, and let's have more discussion.
All right, so we'll hold on that one for right now.
Thank you, Mr. Madam Chair. One provision that wasn't in this, hasn't been in the offers of late, but have several of us were talking prior to coming here, that the one provision on the towed vehicle contents retrieval. I don't know what the Senate has decided on something. If there's a bad taste in your mouth on that, I don't know. It was asked of several of us on our committee, and it was asked us if we would just ask the question of how the Senate feels about that.
Well, Madam Chair, and I don't want to step on Senator Dibble's parade because this has been his bailiwick for a while, and maybe I should just let Senator Dibble speak, and then I can chip in.
Well, thanks, Madam Chair. It was my bill on our side, and I know you guys had a floor debate and managed to keep it in your bill. you know, there's some concern about it, and there's some argument about whether or not it's a problem. I certainly would love to keep it in. I'm compelled that it's a real issue and needs to be dealt with. And I was wondering if we might offer, you know, some sort of a sunset or something like that, so that we could implement the practice for a year, and if it's a real problem, come back. You know, we'd have to come back and repass it.
And
Senator Murphy?
And Madam Chair, and I work with Senator Dibble and the representatives on both sides of this, and I thought we had a pretty good compromise worked out at one time, and then for whatever reason, and we know how things get around here, it kind of blew up in our face. And I know that Senator Dibble would still like to move forward with that, but I'm a little uncomfortable right now, and I've kind of made assurances to both sides that we're going to get this taken care of, but it's going to have to wait till next year. It is a very complicated thing, Representative Anderson, and you know, these people, especially in greater Minnesota that do tows, they can't pick up enough volume to offset the cost of some of these junkers that are left on their property. And, you know, they feel fairly violated. And then on the other side of the coin, there's been instances when somebody got their car towed and then they weren't able to get a wheelchair out or prescription medicine, and so it's been kind of an angry battle. And I think that maybe if we take a step back and look at how we can best do this so that we meet everybody's interests. Like I said, I thought we had a deal worked out, and then it blew up on us.
And Mr. Chair.
I'm sorry.
Oh, Madam Chair. Thank you. And I'm sensitive to this issue of junkers being left, and I think, frankly, that's an environmental problem, and we have worked pretty hard to solve that problem that Tillery's had. And like Senator Murphy said, for whatever reason, you know, it fell apart. I don't know what the reason was. It's a mystery to me, and I'd like to continue working on solving that problem, too. So, you know, I don't know what the resolution is. Maybe we establish a task force or some god-awful thing like that and look at it for a year and come back with a solution to everyone's problem, package it up, and everyone sings kumbaya next year. I don't know.
And Senator Dibble, I know that Representative Nelson would like to get resolution to this as well. His office is near mine on the fourth floor, and I watch the constant parade and hanging out of the key players in this particular issue, so I know he would like to have resolution as well, so I know he'll keep working on it.
Well, Madam Chair, I'd kind of like to hold off on that maybe till next year so we can get a complete fix, because the next time I go in the ditch and I call my buddy to come get me, I want him to come get me.
Okay. With that, I think we need to vote on the Senator Murphy motion to adopt the first four items under the House Senate column of Part 2 of the Senate offer. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Mm-hmm. Motion is adopted, and I would hope that there, because of the structure of it being a Senate offer, there are two items that the House would hope we would be able to continue to discuss, would be the ATV fuel and the Mercy program and the policies associated with that.
So what program?
The rail service with the grants. Right now, particular fund is a revolving loan program, and there's language in our bill that allows a portion of those fund proceeds to be used for grants as well for the railroad program. And so those would be the two House provisions that we did not adopt yet, but in a similar vein of some of the Senate positions that I would just like to mention, we would hope would not be off the table, as well as a result of the actions that we've taken here in the last half hour. Are there any other questions at this time prior to going to our respective floors for a while? Senator Murphy, good luck. We'll continue talking. Good luck when you go to your caucus. I hope that
Colonel Beers is following me in there, so I'm not afraid.
Some of your conferees will help you in that endeavor, as I have asked my conferees to help me in my endeavor as well. And with that, we'll be at recess to call the chair.
Okay.
I'm sorry, Representative Anderson.
Madam Chair, if we could get a Colonel to follow you into our caucus, we would appreciate it.